may now turn as the Lord would be pleased to help us to this chapter that we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John chapter 21, and reading at verse 5, from the 5th verse. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it, for the multitude of fishes. And we are told at the beginning of this chapter that the Lord Jesus was showing himself again to his disciples. And we are told at verse 14 that this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And the reasons why the Savior was showing himself to his disciples after his resurrection are many. Included in them is the proof of the reality of his resurrection. There is also the fact that he was then instructing them about the kingdom of heaven, opening their understandings, and in doing so was strengthening them for the work that they were to have to perform in going out with the gospel when he would descend himself up on high. But perhaps there was this in it too, in the way that he was showing himself. After his resurrection, he was only appearing now and then. Whereas before the resurrection and before his death, he was with them. In his physical, bodily presence, he was with them almost continually. But now after his resurrection, before his ascension, these 40 days, he is just appearing now and then. It is like this, yet a little while, and ye shall see me. Yet a little while again, and ye see me not. And the Savior was teaching the church that this is how it would be when he would ascend up to heaven, when they would no longer have his bodily presence at all, but yet were promised his spiritual presence by the Holy Spirit through the Word. The way it would be often and usually would be this. He would appear now and then. Unbroken communion with Christ is something that belongs to heaven. And he was teaching the disciples this. Now, what is certainly apparent is this, that it was the Lord who was showing himself to the disciples. And that is what you need. You need that the Lord Jesus would reveal himself to your soul. If ever he is to be seen, it will be preceded by this, that he shows himself. You will never see Christ, you will never know Christ, until he will show himself to you. And that is what we have here then. An instance, this third time, we are told when the disciples were together, that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. And on this wise, we are told, showed he himself. We are given instruction on how He showed himself to the disciples. And full of meaning it is an instruction to us. And we would like, as the Lord would help, to consider this particular way here that the Lord Jesus showed himself. And the first matter is that we will notice the occasion when he showed himself. Secondly, we will notice the fact that in showing himself to them, he brought them to acknowledge their own emptiness. Children, have ye any meat? No, we're empty. But then thirdly, we may notice that his showing of himself is bound up with perseverance in the use of means. Cast the net, he said, on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And we may fourthly notice that the way the Lord shows himself is when his people in obedience by faith obey the word of God, because it was then that we find the disciples saying, "It is the Lord." He had showed himself so that they could say, "It is the Lord." So we come firstly to this, the occasion. And it is interesting when we compare this third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples with the first two times. Because the first two times referred to here are the two Sabbath days when the Lord Jesus met with his people, when they were gathered together, and they were within, gathered, the doors being shut, and then on the Sabbath day, in what was a gathering of his people in public, the Lord Jesus appeared and showed himself to them, showing that that is one place and day when he will often show himself to his disciples, on the Sabbath day, in the place of public worship. But this instance here is different. It's not on the Sabbath, and it's not in the church. It's out in the open. It's by the Sea of Tiberias. It's out in the open air, and the disciples are not engaged in a gathering for worship. They are going about a secular work and going fishing. And yet the Lord showed himself to them then. And that shows us, you see, that the Lord Jesus might show himself to you any day of the week. You can get a glimpse of Christ as really on Monday or Tuesday or Friday or Saturday, as on the Sabbath day. And although he delights especially in the gates of Zion and puts an honor on his holy day, he does not confine himself in giving spiritual blessings and meeting with his people to that day. And nor is it only when we are engaged in a formal act of worship that the Lord might show himself to us. The Lord showed himself to them while they were fishing. And the Lord can show himself to you while you are fishing, or walking, or working, or whatever you are doing, so long as it is something lawful. Your lawful calling, your lawful work, lawful recreation, the Lord may show himself to you. And it would be good for us indeed if we were looking for that. If we had such a religion that was not just a religion confined to the Sabbath day, but a religion which endures throughout the week and which involves this, that we would often be seeking to meet with Jesus as we go about our daily duties. But it is notable at the same time that this occasion when the Savior showed himself to the disciples, it was when they were in company together. We read of 7 of the remaining 11 disciples who were here together. And although, as I have said, they are not gathered for worship, yet they are in each other's company. They don't just keep company together on the Sabbath day, but they have a love for one another. Their language to one another is this: I am companion to all those who fear and thee obey. Their language is, thy people shall be my people. And they therefore seem here to be dwelling together in unity. We gather that was true of the early Christian church. What unity we find, what love among the brethren. They loved each other's company, and therefore they were in each other's company. And they would help each other in practical ways. And you see, it is there for the Lord's people dwell together in unity, that the blessings will come. That is when the Lord will be want to show himself. When throughout the week we seek to company with one another and with the people of God, and to dwell in love with one another. We read there the blessing God commands, a life that will never end. Where? Well, in that Psalm 133, the beginning of it is, behold, how good a thing it is, and how becoming well. Together such as brethren are, in unity to dwell, there the blessing God commands. There the Lord Jesus will show himself when the brethren dwell in unity, and when they are loving their hearts to one another. He showed himself when there were together Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. But even more specifically, the occasion of his showing himself was when they had a disappointment. They had a disappointment. And the disappointment they had was a disappointment in their providence and in the lawful use of the means they had gone forth, as we see at verse 3. Into a ship to go fishing, and that night they caught nothing. And like it was on another occasion, the disciples went fishing, and they had to say that they toiled all night and had taken nothing. So they had another such experience here. There is toil in fishing at sea, as some of you here may know from personal experience, how hard work it is to be a fisherman, fishing in the open sea. There is toil involved in it, and there is danger involved in it too, who go to sea in ships and in great waters trading be. These men, God's works and his great wonders, see, they may mount to the heaven and go down to the depths again. Disappointing then it would be if after all that labor and toil, the language in the morning is that they had caught nothing. A disappointment in the means. A long night, a dark night, and that was the occasion and the time when the Lord Jesus showed himself to them. And so it is still. The Lord often appears to his people when their providence is dark. When you have had a long night of disappointment, waiting for a deliverance, perhaps in the cure of your body, perhaps in deliverance from some kind of trouble, and even in your business or lawful calling, you have difficulty, you have disappointment, and you have been using lawful means, but you have no deliverance. You have a long, dark night of toil, and in the morning there is no deliverance, like it was, for example, with Jacob. if when in his providence he was saying that all these things were against him? A long night. How long was that dark night in Jacob's providence? It was a night of 20 years at least. You can calculate from the time that Joseph was taken away and by the time he went down into the land of Egypt. A long dark night, and he had taken nothing. He had no deliverance. But it is often then that the Lord appears to show himself, as he did here. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But while we can apply this to our providence, there is a symbolic aspect surely to what is taking place here. A spiritual aspect, symbolized by their fishing. The Savior himself points to that, because in the earlier part of the Gospels we read about how some of these disciples, like Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John, who were fishermen, were called to the work of the ministry. And we read that they were in their boats, they were at their work, either mending nets or casting nets into the sea. And the Lord Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The Lord himself was teaching them to view fishing in a way whereby there is a spiritual symbolism involved in it. That's what the Savior brought in himself. That is not fanciful interpretation of Scripture. It is what the Savior did himself. And so later on, in that occasion I referred to, when they toiled all night and had taken nothing, and the Savior told them to go forth and to launch into the deep again, and they did so, and a great catch was also taken on that occasion, and Peter fell down at the feet of Jesus, for he got a glimpse of his glory then, and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What did the Lord say? The Lord said to Peter, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. What I've revealed to you in the fishing and the catch that you got, I am raising you up to think of it in this way, that you are to be fishing for men. I will take you to another sea. I will take you to the sea of poor, lost, ruined mankind, Peter. And I will have you cast the net in there in the preaching of the word. And that is what the church is doing. That is what the ministry is to be doing. That is what the members who pray are doing. They are, as it were, casting their net into the sea of lost and ruined men like yourself, who under the gospel, that their souls would be won, caught, as it were, for Christ. But the experience of the church is often this. They go forth, and that night they catch nothing. We have toiled all night and taken nothing. The lawful means used that God appointed. But there is no blessing apparent. Souls are not being converted to Christ. The Holy Spirit is not being poured out from on high. And the language of the church is, we have been with child. We have been in pain, but we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have had no new birth in Zion. Neither have we wrought any deliverance on the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. The kingdom of darkness is strong. The church is growing weak. A long, dark night for the church. And on such occasions, when the church is emptied of herself and her own strength and her own resources, then it is often that the Lord shows himself. But perhaps we can apply these words in an additional way spiritually, at a personal level. For the individual, that we might think of the soul that is seeking a blessing in the means of grace. Going out, as it were, to the deep, to the sea of the Word of God, to the sea of the means of grace, to the sea of the gospel. And there you let down the net of prayer. You let down the net of earnest hearing. You let down the net of longing desire. You let down the net of seeking that you would find Christ for your soul for the first time as a seeking sinner, seeking salvation at first, or as a believer, having union with Christ, but seeking a blessing for your soul in the means. You let down the net. You are seeking to get what would revive your soul. You are seeking to get what would be as food to your soul. But the experience often is, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. We have been in the means of grace. We have been seeking Christ in the means. We have been seeking a blessing for our soul in the means. We have been seeking food for our soul in the means. But we have taken nothing. In the morning, they caught nothing. And the language of the soul with regard to Christ then is this: I sought him, but I found him not. I called him, but he gave me no answer. A long, dark, weary night. It is then when the soul has been brought to an end of itself that Christ commonly shows himself. A morning comes, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. This is the occasion often of his showing himself. When we are toiling in means, and means themselves are not providing the blessing for us, then he comes and shows himself. Now, this leads us to consider the second point, which is that when the Lord will show himself, he will bring us to know our own emptiness. And you see, that is brought out. That is brought out by the question here. He begins to deal with them. This is how the Lord Jesus will show himself. He begins to speak. He begins to deal with them. Although they know not that it was Jesus. At verse 4, he has come and he stands on the shore. He is not just so near to them. He is some distance away, but he is beginning to speak to them. And they know not that it was Jesus. But Jesus says unto them, children, have ye any meat? And in that, he was highlighting the emptiness and disappointment that the disciples had. They answered him, no. The Lord Jesus knew that they had no fish in the net. But he asked them, did you have any success last night? Did you have any success in the use of the means to catch fish? He well knows the answer. But he will have them to tell him about it. He will have them to acknowledge it. He will have them to confess it. He will have their emptiness to be acknowledged by them and to be known before he will show himself to them. And that is how the Lord Jesus often shows himself still. He will come, he stands, as it were, now on the shore of eternity. That is where he is. He is now in glory, more glorified now than he even was here after his resurrection at the first step of his glory. He is now and safe, as it were, on the shore, in the in the throne of heaven. But yet his eye is on his church toiling here below. His eye is on his people. His eye is on the poor soul toiling in the use of means. He does not forget them. He is to show that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he begins to speak. The Lord Jesus begins to speak with us through his word and through his providence also. Behold, I stand, he says, at the door and knock, though I am in heaven, though I stand on the shore at a distance from you, yet my voice can reach you, my word can reach you, my spirit can reach you. But you might not know that it is Jesus. He might be speaking to you in the Word. He might be addressing you in his Word. You might know that there is some power stirring in your soul. You might know that indeed, but you might not know that it is Jesus. You might not know that he is the one who is speaking to you and who is dealing with you. He often hides himself, like Joseph, who hid himself and made himself strange to his brethren. And what does he say to them? He says, children, children, a kind word. Children, little children, he says. You are my children. A word of kindness, a word that would, though they knew not that it was Jesus, a word that would tell them that the one who is speaking with them is a compassionate one who has tenderness and love. Children, he says, you're in the dark night and morning has come and you have no deliverance. And now Jesus begins to show himself and he addresses you in this way, children. You know, when Boaz spoke to Ruth kindly, he called her my daughter. Ruth was quite taken with that, how kindly Boaz spoke to her. It encouraged her. She said to him, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me. And for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. My daughter is what Boaz was saying to Ruth. Ruth did not feel like one of Boaz's handmaidens. She was not like them. She was from Moab. She was from the world. But he was speaking kindly to her, and it led her to ask for favor in his sight. And so it is that the Lord, is the Lord speaking kindly to you? Is he speaking to your heart? Is he speaking to you in words of compassion and tenderness and saying, children, little children, my daughter, my son, give me thine heart. But the question is one which brings out your emptiness. Have you any need? Have you any deliverance in your providence? Have you any success in your trouble? No, I have none. I have toiled all night and taken nothing. But he says to the church, standing on the shore of eternity, looking on his people, looking on his church, toiling in the means of grace, toiling in the means that he has provided for the conversion of sinners. And he says, have you any success? Are there any souls that won to me? Let us get down, he said, to the vineyard. We will see the vineyard. Christ has an interest in his own church. Christ has an interest in whether the vine flourish and the tender grape appears. Christ has an interest in whether the church is being fruitful or not. And he will have us to examine what success we are having as a church. Children, have ye any meat? And the answer, as it were, with shame, no. Lord, it's to thee we say it. No, we see not our signs. There is not a prophet any more that knows at the time how long. The windows of heaven seem closed. The net comes back empty. We have no meat. we have no success. We are not capturing men for Christ. And so, in your own experience, you who are in the means of grace seeking Christ, letting down the net all the night, again and again, seeking Christ in the Word, seeking Christ in the sermon, seeking that you would find Him for your soul for eternity. And He says to you, children, have you any success in seeking Me? Have you found Me? Have you found Me who am the bread of life to your soul? And are you here today? And you have to answer, no. 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 I have not found Thee. I cannot say that I have found Thee. I cannot say that I know Thee. I cannot say that I have Thee. I cannot say that I am one of Thy children. No. Though I have been in the means. And you see, you are to be in the means. A fisherman who had any hope of catching fish would have to go out to the sea. He wouldn't expect to find fish in the field. He must go to the sea. And so if you expect and hope to find salvation for your soul, you will be in the sea of the means of grace. You will be there as often as you can. A fisherman who only went once a day might not have much chance of getting the fish. But the more often he would go, the longer he would stay, the greater his chance of the fish. But it's not enough to go to the sea. The fisherman went to the sea in the boat, but never let down the net. Would not expect to catch much fish. They will not jump into the boat. And neither will Christ, as it were, leap to you if you do not seek Him. You are to seek Him. Christ joins the means. You are to be in the means, but you are to be diligent in the use of the means, with preparation and diligence and prayer, letting down the net again and again. And if you have been thus engaged, Christ has His eye upon you. He sees you toiling. And He says, have you any meat? Did you get any blessing? And you are here, and you feel that the answer is no. Though I toiled all night, though all these years I have been in the means, I never got the blessing yet. And so often with His people, seeking what would revive their soul in the means, letting down the net again and again, but it comes back empty. Their souls as hard, their souls as dead, in their own experience. Barrenness still, the Lord is far off from you still. But He is asking you, He sees you toiling. And He says, have you any meat? And you, in all honesty, have to say to Him, no. I did not get the joy. I did not get the comfort. I did not get what would revive my soul. I did not get a word from the Lord. I sought Him. But I sought Thee. It is to the Lord that this has been said. The Lord will bring you into dialogue with Himself. He is saying, children, have ye any meat? It is to Himself you are to say, no, Lord. I confess I have nothing. I confess I am empty. I confess that the means themselves have not availed to give me what I desire for my soul. No, I have caught nothing. Well, the third matter is this, what He then tells them to do. He said unto them, continue in the use of means if you're going to get the blessing. Look at that, verse 6. He says unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. He doesn't say to them, go to another sea. He doesn't say to them, use another net, or instead of a net, use a line. He says, use that same net in the same sea. Let it down again. Cast it on the right side of the ship. and ye shall find. Continue doing all that you were doing throughout the night. When they were told on that previous occasion, when they had the similar experience, the Savior said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Peter was saying, Lord, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. It seems pointless. We know the lake. We are fishermen. We grew up here. We know that there are no fish in this lake. But the Savior says, continue using the same means and ye shall find. He gives a command and a promise. And ye shall find. I will ensure that you will find. I am the Lord of glory. I am the one under whose feet the Father has put all things. Fish of the air, fowl of the air, fish of the sea, all that pass through the same. How excellent in all the earth, Lord, our Lord, is thy name. The one in the shore, speaking to the disciples, is the one whose hands have framed this world. He is the creator of the ends of the earth, who fainteth not, neither is weary. And he who can perform miracles, he says to them, cast your net into the sea, on the right side of the ship, and I promise you, ye shall find, because I will command the blessing. I'm not asking you to command the blessing. I'm asking you to be in the means. I'm asking you to cast the net. Do what I command you to do. Cast the net into the sea. I do not say that you yourself must draw the fish into the net. But I'm telling you to cast the net into the sea, and I will do the rest. I will draw the fish. I will put them in. Ye shall find. And so, there is in the word of God what directs you to your duty. You are here. Whether it's in your providence, using lawful means there, whether it's the church as a whole, in her efforts to catch sinners to Christ, whether it's in your own endeavors in the sea of the gospel to seek a blessing for your soul, the Lord is saying, continue. Though you've toiled all the night, though the means seem fruitless, carry on in the same means. He says to the church, use the same net. Do not cast away the net. You see, that's what the church is doing in our day. The modern church, even in the Reformed circles, so-called, they know that we're all toiling and taking nothing. And what are they doing? They are casting away the old net of the preaching of the gospel. They are casting away the old net of prayer and reliance on the Lord. And they're inventing new nets. New forms of gathering, they think, souls to Christ. New ways of worship. Bring the world's music into the worship. Bring songs and hymns into the worship instead of the psalms. Put away the preaching. Put up PowerPoint projectors and use it just like a business conference. And have groups and societies for the young and for the women and this and that. New nets, but Christ says, cast the net, the same net. It's not that there's a problem with the net. It's not that there's a problem with the means that I myself have ordained in the church. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It is through preaching and prayer, accompanying that preaching, through the efforts of the church in defending the truth, through the witness of the people of God in their own private sphere, these means appointed by Christ, it is through these that the blessing will come. And the reason the blessing is not coming is not because of a fault in the means. It's not because it's the wrong net. It's because, in the highest view of it, because the Lord in His sovereignty is withholding the blessing, just as he withheld the fish from the disciples all that night. That was in the providence of God. And so it is in the providence of God, in the highest view of it, that the net of the church is so empty in our day, and we are not to be tempted to throw away the net and to invent new means. We're to continue toiling. And the Lord is able to bless the church. He is able to bless the means. He is able to fill the net. He is able to bring one sinner here and one sinner there. If not in multitudes, he is able there to save a few. And if it please him, he is able to fill the net of the church, as he will do in days I promised to the church yet to come. When they will go forth them in the preaching of the word, and the net will be full again and again. When better days will come, and when the Spirit will be poured out from on high. He will give the blessing. He will command the blessing. He will convert sinners. It is his work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord does not ask the church to do the work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord asks his church to continue diligently in the use of the same means, however discouraging it might seem. And so it is with you as the individual sinner seeking salvation, seeking it and finding it not, as far as you know. What are you to do? The devil would say, cast away the net. Leave the sea, leave the ship, give up seeking Christ. You will never find him. You have sought him so long, you will never find him. He is obviously not willing to save you. Give it up. But Christ is saying, carry on in the same means. It's only in the means that you will find me. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. Continue to seek me in the word and prayer. Cast the net of prayer. And prayerful seeking and looking and asking and earnest desiring into the word. Cast the net in, where the word of God is preached. Seek Christ in the sermon. Continue in the use of means. And ye shall find. There is a word of encouragement. There is what is in the word of God that will encourage you to seek him. He never said to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Ye shall find. He says to sinners, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And he may be found. Otherwise, you would not be called on to seek him. Seek ye the Lord, if while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. Is that not what would encourage you to go on in the mean? To make sure of Christ, that you would not rest in anything less than Christ. No experience, no seeking itself, no reformation of life. You are not to rest in these things, you are to rest in nothing, less than in finding Christ himself, which is the same as to come to saving faith in him. The promise here is ye shall find. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. If you would ask, he would give. And therefore, you must continue. Christ is saying, in the means, do not give up. Seek ye the Lord, and ye shall live. Do not give up seeking him, friend. In his own means, the fish were there. But the disciples couldn't see them, though they hadn't caught them again and again. It's not for lack of fish in the Sea of Tiberias. And it's not for lack of there being a blessing in the Word. It's not for lack of there being Christ in the means of grace that you have not found Him. Seek, and ye shall find. And so with the people of God, seeking a blessing, tempted to give up, tempted to become remiss in the use of the means, tempted to be remiss in prayer, to put your Bible aside because you are finding nothing there. Christ says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. He will appear in the morning and He will encourage you and He will give a blessing yet, because the promise is, and when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth them for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Jacob, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the valleys. I will give the blessing. I will command the blessing. And so he says to his own, seek and ye shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, though you might have to bear long and wait long. God will avenge His own elect, which cry unto Him day and night. And therefore do not give in to the temptation of Satan in your own unbelieving heart, to lay aside the means as if they were fruitless, as if you would never get a blessing in the means for your soul ever again. But you are to continue. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And that leads us fourthly to consider that the way the Lord revealed Himself, the way He showed Himself, was in the path of their obedience by faith. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it. For the multitude of fishes, the fish were put into the net. But because they cast therefore, like Peter before, in the previous occasion when they had toiled all night and taken nothing, and the Lord was telling them to cast the net again. And you remember that Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. At thy bare word, I have nothing to encourage me. My experience tells me it is pointless. My reason would tell me to give up. In my feelings, I have nothing that would give me any comfort or any hope. Ah, but faith, friend, is to go on the bare word of God. Not your experience. Not your feelings. Not your own reason. You are to obey the Lord's command in whatever sphere of life. That is true. That is the path of duty. There is the path of safety. Whatever the Lord says unto thee, do. Whatsoever He shall tell thee, do. And so here, in this matter of seeking a blessing for your soul, you are to go on in faith. They cast therefore only because He told them to do it. At thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word I will go on praying. At thy word I will go on seeking thee in the sermon. At thy word I will go on seeking thee in thy word. I will go on seeking the blessing, knowing that there is a promise that if I seek, I will find. This is what the Lord would have me to do, and therefore I will do it. And you see that the Lord now had His own time. You see, there is sovereignty in it. It's not just that every time you cast the net into the sea, you can expect a blessing. No. You see, your seeking does not earn salvation. It's not a relation of merit and reward that your seeking is rewarded, though we may think that, especially when first awakened. We might think that somehow that our seeking obliges God to give us the blessing. Friend, it does not. But there is a relation between seeking and finding instituted in God's command. But it does not mean that God is not sovereign as to when and how and if he gives the blessing. But here as time had come, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. He filled them. The empty net was full. What a contrast. And in that, you see, the disciples got a glimpse of the divine power of the Saviour. It is the Lord. John said, the disciple whom Jesus loved was able in love to discern the hand of the Lord. He had quick eyesight to discern the Lord. It is the Lord. Jesus was showing himself. He showed himself when the blessing came. John recognized the kind and compassionate one. John recognized the divine power of the one who brought about the miracle of the catch of the fish. And he said, it is the Lord. It is unmistakable. Here is the hand of God. And that's Christ showing himself. And so in your providence, coming back to that, you might have a hard providence, a dark night waiting on the Lord to deliver you from trouble, from ill health, from problems in your work or your family or whatever it might be. And then the Lord comes to deliver you, though you have toiled and taken nothing, though you have been able to do nothing yourself. And you do not doubt it is the Lord. You see the Lord's hand in answer to prayer sometimes so clearly in your everyday providence that you say, it is the Lord. It is the finger of God. It is Christ in his compassion and in his power. He has done it. And it has this effect in you, that he is showing himself to you. And you, like the disciples then, they went to the Lord. They wanted to be at him. Peter jumped into the sea to be at Christ. And they were taken up more, as it were, with the Lord than with the catch of the fish. Peter was more taken up with the Lord than the fish. He left the fish behind. He would be at the Lord. And that's a sign that ever you got a blessing truly in your providence, in answer to prayer from the Lord, as one of the covenant children. It had this effect in you. You were more taken up with the Lord than the blessing itself. It led you out to him, saying, it is the Lord, I must be at him. I must be near to him. My heart is drawn out to him. And so it will be, you see, in seeking the Lord, in the means of grace. The time will come when the Lord can fill your soul as he filled the net. Your empty soul. I'll fill thy mouth abundantly, do thou it open wide. They with the fatness of thy house shall be well satisfied. Who with abundance of good things doth satisfy thy mouth. The Lord is able to fill the hungry soul, although he sends the rich away empty. And however empty you have been, however empty you feel, the Lord is able to give you the blessing that you need and that you desire, and you have been disappointed in thus far. They were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. A fullness of blessing. Oh, there is a fullness when the blessing would come. It satisfies the soul, it fills the soul. He, the soul that longing is, doth fully satisfy. With goodness he, the hungry soul, doth fill abundantly. And in that, you see, the Lord is showing himself then, when a spiritual blessing comes into your soul, either of finding Christ at first, or a reviving power under the word thereafter. He is showing himself. It is the Lord, you say. It is unmistakable, the sweetness and the glory and the power that are in this experience. It is the Lord. And it drew you out in affection to him. You see, this is how the Lord works. He brings his people low often. He leaves them to be empty. Leaves them to feel their deadness and their corruption, and the emptiness and uselessness of means in themselves, so that they will be led to wait in him and to learn that it is all of grace and that they are entirely dependent on him for the blessing. And are you in the means? Are you diligent in the means? Are you using the means of grace? For Christ is to be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. May the Lord bless his word. We shall pray. O Lord, that we would learn that thou hast joined together the use of the means and the bestowing of the blessing. Give us diligence in the means to seek thee earnestly, to seek thee frequently. Give us that faith, that blessing of thy Spirit, to say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Pour forth thy Spirit upon us. Command the blessing, Lord. Even life that will never end. Spiritual life in our souls. Eternal life hereafter. Grant to bless thine own word. Give thee increase thyself. Grant to fill thy people. The hungry soul do thou fill abundantly. And take us home in safety. Help us to keep thy day holy. May we delight in it and in thee. Bless us in the evening hour. Meet with us then. Prepare us for a communion season as a congregation. Bless us to sing to thy praise in conclusion with thy grace and pardon all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, we'll read in order to sing to his praise in conclusion in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and from verse 23, who go to sea in ships and in great waters trading be. Within the deep these men God's works, and his great wonders see. For he commands and forth in haste the stormy tempest flies, which makes the sea with rolling waves aloft to swell and rise. They mount to heaven, then to the depth they do go down again. Their soul doth faint and melt away with trouble and with pain. They reel and stagger like one drunk, at their wit's end they be. Then they to God in trouble cry, who them from straits doth free. The storm is changed into a calm at his command and will, so that the waves which raged before now quiet are and still. We'll sing four stanzas from verse 25. For he commands and forth in haste the stormy tempest flies.
For he commands and forth in haste the stormy tempest flies, which makes the sea with rolling waves aloft to swell and
have an intimation to read for the Book Room Fund. The Synod has appointed this collection to be taken in February. The Book Room was set up to be a source of sound Christian literature for the people of the Church and for many others beyond in many parts of the world. Sending out Bibles and good books is an important aspect of the work of the Church in spreading the Gospel and making known the particular doctrines which we stand for. The Book Room continues to need the support provided by this collection, so we again commend this fund to the generosity of the people of the Church, Reverend Kenneth D. MacLeod, convener of the Publications and Book Room Committee. And I may intimate also the evening service tonight at 6:30 p.m. as usual, the prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7 p.m. and the services next Sabbath at 12 noon and 6:30 p.m. with the Sabbath school meeting in the church hall at 11 a.m. Now, I'm due to be away at Stornoway Communion next Sabbath. And I would also intimate that we expect the Reverend Alistair MacLean Bewley and Reverend Wilfred Wheel Hawkirk to assist at the forthcoming communion when the sacrament of the Lord's Supper will be administered in the congregation in the second Sabbath of March, as usual. All the Lord willing, let us conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.